Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, February 23rd, 2024, 16 minutes past the hour. And we've had a great morning so far. We thank legendary ABC newsman Sam Donaldson for calling in hour number one. And, of course, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, joining us live in studio. And we're going to kick this hour off with a phone call. And this is somebody I have not talked to. Oh, boy, I'm not sure when the last time I talked to him was, but they are always a great guest. And to be honest with you, for more than a half century, they have probably been the foremost radio and television, one of the foremost radio and television personalities in the world. Interviews with people who go back in the music industry decades. What a classic this person is, the legendary Cousin Brucey. Cousin Brucey, how are you?
Well, I'll tell you what an introduction. I'm glad you said one of them, by the way. Look, first of all, Scott, happy birthday. Scott, how many birthdays do you celebrate a year?
Yeah, 7 or 8. I like to get a lot of gifts.
It seems to me every time I go on my cell phone, it's Scott's birthday. And I'm saying, that's amazing. That's a good gimmick. That's that. But seriously, happy birthday to you and many, many, many more. You realize, Scott, that not only are you celebrating your birthday, but what you've achieved, you have every member of your audience celebrating with you. And that's a great achievement. You did very well awakening that audience. They all feel so close to you. And that's nice.
Well, Cousin Brucey, I cannot thank you enough for the kind words and certainly the birthday wishes. What's going on with you? I know you're still at it.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know, when you love something so much, you just never stop. I'm on the WABC today, back where I almost started, and I'm on Saturday nights, and I do television and all kind of film stuff, and I'm still doing the thing. You know, when you love something, as I said, Scott, just like you, you never want to stop. It's such a pleasure.
It absolutely is. Well, Cousin Brucey, to have you call in on this day and say happy birthday, that means the world to me. Like I say, we don't get to catch up too often, but you, I really don't know a better person on the radio. You really took radio and made it an art form. You are superlative. So having you call in is great this morning. Thank you, Cousin Brucey.
Thank you so much. Best wishes, Scott, with many, many, many more.
Thank you, Cousin. Bye-bye. The legendary Cousin Brucey. Call from New York this morning. How about that? Well, now we've got Matt and Jessica in the studio. Now, I should mention, because this is only the second week we've done that, this will be the second week of many, because we're having a good time with it. Matt Morgan's here, as he is each and every Friday, and joined by Jessica Hauser, who made her return to radio with me 12 years. It was 12 years. I'm pretty sure that's right. For the first time last year, you went traveling, I think, and did some things. But now that you've been back a week, how'd it go?
Oh, it went great. I had a good time.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah,
it's fun. It really is fun, I think, because I don't think anybody would ever have these conversations anywhere other than in this setting, and it's fun.
Yes.
And there is a wide range of ages here, from Matt, who is 20, to you and I, who are not 20.
We are not 20.
We are not 20. 20, 25? 25?
I'll go for that.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. You know what's interesting? The funny thing about radio, and Cousin Brucey can attest to this, is that when you are on, it reminds people. I got so much interesting feedback this week in regard to you being on last Friday.
Did you?
I did. It was positive. Very positive.
That's great.
Yeah, I did. People were very positive. Matter of fact, when we were talking the other morning, somebody was on the air at that point, and they were saying very nice things about you, how you sounded good, how you could tell that you had been on in the past, that you gave good opinions. It didn't seem like you were trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, so it was great.
Awesome.
So I'm glad you're back.
We'll see what today brings.
You know what I didn't ask you last week, though, that I should have asked you in the last 12 years? What's been new with you? I'm sure you've done something in the last 12 years.
I would say everything has changed in 12 years, of course.
Well, do tell.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have a child now.
You're right. You didn't have, see, okay, now here, I hate to say this. This is going to be interesting now. We're going to get in, this is unplanned radio. I wasn't sure, because it's not like we got together a whole lot in the last 12 years. I knew you had a child, but I thought you only had one child.
I only have one.
Right, so I thought I was right. But
I mean,
somebody,
he could be three, well, all in one.
Right, right. But somebody came up to me and said that you had had a child prior to being on the radio with me the last time. And I said, I don't think so.
It could have been my boyfriend.
That could have been. That could have been. But not your kid.
And that's not
what
my kid.
That's what first came to my mind, was it probably wasn't you. Because I said, I don't think she had a kid when I...
No.
No, because I've even known you longer than that. We go back to the restaurant days.
Right, and I waited a while to have one.
Why was that?
I was having too much fun, really.
Well, you used to be, and because I don't have any kids, but you used to be a very interesting person in that a lot of women feel like life is about getting married and having the kids, and this is it. I never got that vibe from you.
Right, right.
But I always thought it was interesting.
It did come around eventually. I didn't want to go through...
When did that vibe set in?
I didn't want to go through life without experiencing that part, if I could.
See, here's what I figure at this point in my life with the birthday tomorrow. I think that as long as there's somebody there to pull the plug who I trust at the end, that's all you need. That's all you need at this point. I mean, I don't really...
You know, it doesn't really work like that, Scott.
Really?
No.
I can't appoint the person
who
I want to do that.
I think the whole Dr. Kevorkian days are kind of over. I don't, you know.
Well, no, I don't want to pull a plug early. Now, I want that plug to stay in is right. Really what I want them to do. I mean, if there's even a power outage near, I want a generator on that plug, you right. know, because at that point, I people say, well, I don't want to be a burden. No, I'd be a burden.
You would be a burden.
Sure, why not?
Oh,
that's
boy.
At one point in your life, be a burden. If this is going to be the time, let's do it. I could have, but like Matt and Carrington, you know, they're a little bit younger than me, a little bit. I could make one of them the person, couldn't I? I don't think they have to be a family member or anything like that.
I don't know. Matt, would you do that?
I mean, yeah, I'd do it.
You would pull my plug? Or you what? Well, let's get into the stuff here.
Or
you
change
would?
His diaper. Which one would you do?
Well, no, you know what? I think the hospital people do the diaper changing.
Maybe.
You know what? People who always say, I want to stay home, that's another thing. I do not want my family taking care of me. I want strangers. Right. I think they treat you better.
I think that's agreeable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why in the world would you want people who are not trained in medicine or how to do that doing that?
Correct.
I want somebody, a professional, to come mm-hmm. in and do that. Plus, I really don't want anybody, family members, seeing my rear end. That's the...
Right.
Yeah. So, no, but the plug thing.
Such an interesting conversation.
You know what? It's radio. It's extemporaneous. From the legendary Cousin Brucey giving us birthday wishes to who's going to wipe your rear end. You would keep the plug in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to keep that plug in. That's a good place to age, in a bed. Get a lot of rest.
Could be.
It's very...
Could be.
At some point, I got to start resting, you know? It's one of those things. Been at this a minute now. All right, let's get into the topics because that's the fun part of this. And of course, I had to send Jessica the topics. The only person I ever have to send the topics upon threat that I will not show if I don't get the topics. Yes. Why is that?
Because I'm not witty.
You're witty. I think you could fly on. I think you could go on the spur of the moment with this stuff. But I am fascinated. I knew you didn't have a kid, and somebody tried to tell me for sure that you had a kid. And I said, no, not back then. No, she didn't.
No, not even stepchildren.
So I think they might have been bum wrapping you in that particular case because you had a kid.
Well, there is, I believe there's another Jessica Hauser here.
Oh, maybe that's the case
in
as well.
Town. So she might have.
Oh, well, that could be a thing. You're right. Maybe that. Because I said, that is not the person that I'm dealing with. That's not right.
Right.
Because I know she didn't have a kid back then. But I went along with it because who am I to know? I don't know what people are doing in their private life. But you were not married then either.
No.
You've been married since then?
No.
You never got married?
No.
I thought you were married.
No.
Really?
Well, I was married, but that was before we talked on the radio.
Really? I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, see, the stuff
a whole year.
Okay, when you're married a year, what perspective does that give you on marriage?
Well, the perspective that I had was to do a background check on somebody before you marry them.
See, here's my worry about that.
You need to do a background check.
Now, would this be for all people you're marrying?
I really do think that you should do a background check on whoever you're going to marry.
Like, if you knew somebody somewhat, like, say, like, an old boyfriend came back from high school, mm-hmm. and you really hit it off with them, and, oh, this is the person, you know, this is the one, and you're going to marry them, you would still do a background check on that person that you knew?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, I would.
What are you looking for?
I don't know if I want to get into this.
No, we won't ever have this conversation again. I just think it's fascinating because we didn't really go into your thing last week. Except
I would say a big one would be like if they have a driver's license.
Oh, so, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know,
you got to have a driver's license.
You know,
don't want to be hauling anybody around.
If they're a sex offender, then you might have a problem with where you can live.
Do you think, though, you wouldn't pick up on this stuff eventually? I mean, one date, two dates, I can see not picking up. But when they're slipping a ring on your finger, I hope by that point you've got a good sense of who, can they drive?
Well, you know, at the right...
Did I have to take them to get the ring?
You know, in my mid-20s, I didn't have the common sense enough to do that, I guess.
Well, you know what? But I give... hearing that, and I didn't know that at the time, but I give you credit for realizing, obviously, fairly quickly, that this was not working.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's more people should do that.
Right.
Because people stay in things a little too long.
Maybe.
I think they do. Well, and we're going to move on to the topics after this, and this isn't necessarily with you. This is a broad scope to anybody. But I really believe that at some point, you have to realize that if you're having, and I'm not saying every rough patch should be the end of everything, so don't take it that way. But I'm saying, if you're having a conflict with somebody that causes some major strife, you're going to make up at some point, just like friends do. But that's not going to fix the problem. You got to really understand that. I always like the line with Maya Angelou. When somebody shows you or tells you who they are, believe them, because that's who they are. They can be nice for a minute. You get the show. We talked about the show last week. And if they feel they lost something, they're going to put on a little bit of a show. It's the boomerang. But that's true. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just self-awareness is something that I think everybody should have.
Yes.
Including Taylor Swift. We just got to say her name once, even though we've got no topics.
Right.
Matt, you've been listening to all this. Certainly not married or have any kids at 20. Well, should I say certainly? That happens now. But what's your feeling on everything that just was said here before we burst into the topics?
You know, I mean, I think that as far as the whole married thing go, I think that you should probably know the person pretty well before you marry him. And I mean, I don't know the exact situation, but yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with Scott. Kudos to acknowledging it and leaving before, you know,
getting out.
It's tough. It's tough, yes. Because your family wants to know why you're doing that, and people start your friend, well, what went on there? Everybody wants to know, and it is public, and, you know, social media now, people will...
Oh, yeah.
It's rough.
I really didn't have social media really then, either.
People are... I only use social media for promotion or if I want to put up a business or somebody. The things people post on social media are beyond me. I can't. I wouldn't even know how to do half of that stuff. To trash somebody or to trash somebody I personally knew, why? What's the point of that?
Yeah, they need like a social media editor.
They really do.
And delayed posting.
Yeah, you know, they do. Think about it for a day.
Even 20 minutes.
yeah, because sometimes you're just in the heat.
Right.
You're in that passionate mode. Let's get to the current events here so we get some of these in. I thought this was interesting. For years now, they've always said, don't go to bed angry. That's bad for a relationship. And recently, a new book, and I don't have the title of the book in front of me, came out that said, no, it's actually good to go to bed angry because you can calm down, you can cool down, and you can reflect upon what the argument was about. And then in the morning, you're more refreshed and you can come back to it. Kind of like you said, wait 20 minutes and then come back to it. And, that's a better time to have the conversation about what you were angry about. What do you think, Matt? Never go to bed angry, as they've always said, or as a new book says, go to bed angry?
I mean, I think you should probably go to bed angry in this case, because I think that if you go to bed angry, you wake up with, like you said, like with a, almost like, You don't want to make decisions in highly emotionally driven moments, because they tend to be bad decisions, because they're not made with logic, they're made with emotion.
And I do want to say, if you want to know the title of this book, this article came from the New York Times, so just search New York Times, Going to Bed Angry, and you'll find out the book if you want to read it. What do you think, Jessica?
I agree with Matt. Yep. I think, and I've been told this several times, like, Jessica, go take a nap.
Really? So you get like a...
eat something and go to bed.
Is that like a,
we'll see you in the morning.
Is that one of those hungry, angry things?
And I would say, of the relationships I've been in, the ones that have lasted longer are the ones where they tell me to go to bed.
Really?
We will finish this
Finish
later.
It later.
However, there is, you know, even my mom and a couple, you know, pretty influential people in my life had said, don't ever go to bed angry.
They do. That's a saying.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. But that just leads to, you know, being up all night and being more tired.
Well, I think the theory behind not going to bed angry always was you will harbor it. That you're laying there harboring it, and you are thinking about it more, and you're getting angrier, and why aren't they saying anything, and then it's a rough night. I think that was always the theory behind it.
I mean, I think that's a fairly easy theory to disprove, though. Like, I mean, like, kind of like she said before, like if you post something, like, mean or nasty to, like, Facebook, like, if and you had, like, a 20-minute timer, I guarantee you before that 20-minute timer's up, you're like, you know!
See, but I've got to disagree with you both on this, because not that I'm necessarily for not going to bed angry, because I'm sure I've ticked somebody off before bed, and you know I was still there in the morning. But I do think there is the more time you think about something, yes, you might wake up in the morning and you might be willing to be more civil about it, but you don't forget it.
No.
And
well, I mean, I think
the quicker you get to something, if you can work it out, you can try to work it out. That's going to be better than let's sleep on it. Let's think about it for another 8 hours, because that, the bigger the problem, it might even be a night where you don't get any sleep. Now you get the person who's laying there for 8 hours, hasn't slept, and maybe now they're ticked that you've slept, because why could you sleep during that night? Couldn't. I don't know. I think it's a bad idea.
To go to bed angry?
Go to bed angry.
I mean, I don't know. I think that, like I said previously, I think that, like, if you were in... So, like, if you guys were angry at each other, the more you discuss it and the more the conversation gets, the more likely you get deeper and deeper into the angry portion of the conversation. So it'll turn into like a screaming match. Whereas if you go to sleep, the anger is gone, and yes, you still, but it's still there. So I guess you harbor it to the next day. But like, you're not angry anymore. So now you can have a like civilized, clear thought discussion and actually try to solve the things.
That is if people were rational, and they are not. You act like it's going to be better in the morning just because somebody slept on it. No.
I mean, I think there's
no reality in
that. I think that the possibility
well,
that it comes back...
Where is proof on that?
I think that the possibility that they come back to screaming is there, but I mean, I think that it won't be so bad because they won't be... It's not like they picked up where they left off in the screaming match.
Depends on what the argument is. Could get worse.
I have a couple different personalities, and one of them has to... You know, is severely influenced by being tired.
Well, no, that's different, though. I mean, if you're tired, that's a personality trait. That's not necessarily on a normal day. Let's say
I'm tired, I could probably start an argument.
Right. But that's being irritable, I guess, is more what I'm saying. I'm talking about whether it's 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night, you're in your right mind, you're not tired, but a problem arises.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather put it off till 8 o'clock in the morning or have it right then?
Well, I guess if my son isn't going to bed, then the little arguments we have before he goes to bed, those are usually resolved first.
Those are taken care of. See, and it works.
Yes.
You don't harbor that till the morning, and he's up all night and the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think it's not a good idea. The problem is you've got to be aware that the other person's angry. Because some people are passive-aggressive, and you don't really know that they're angry. See, everybody believes that you know that they're angry, but that's not so. And I think that's a problem, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever had that? where you don't really they may have said something, but you don't realize that they're as angry as they are about it. And then you find next day they're still steaming over this thing, and you don't realize that it's even a problem.
Mm-hmm. What about if you're angry about something else and not in the relationship?
Like,
not
in
like
life.
A relationship. Yes.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to bed.
Well, do you want to talk to them about it?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the situation.
Well, like, do you bring a significant other? Do you bring those problems to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess you might want to do it.
Or a friend.
Or a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might want to bring it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the perfect person to do it with, because they're going to be... See, here's the problem, though, now that I think about it. If they like you, obviously they're going to be more sympathetic to you and more agreeable with you. There's going to be a bias in whatever the problem is. And sometimes you just need that objective person in your life,
mm-hmm.
who's going to say, no, you were wrong. You were wrong. And
oh,
you
then another argument.
Is that always an argument?
It could be.
Really? Doesn't it set in, though, sometimes that you...
I am not.
No worry, but you were
never
saying,
wrong.
I was wrong. I was wrong. You say, listen, you know what? You're right. I was wrong about that.
Yeah. You know, being able to say those words can make life so much easier.
Yeah, even if you're not.
Yeah.
Because it just smooths it over.
That's one thing kind of comes with age is, yep,
so
right,
earlier,
I was wrong.
Earlier in life, you would have been more knocked down, drag out.
Oh, never wrong.
Never wrong.
Never.
But now...
You're wrong a lot. I'm wrong
a
lot.
Now when you look back at yourself, do you
I'm
say I was wrong?
I'm wrong when I'm not wrong.
Oh, so you even take
so we have that in the back. But I'm not wrong, but I'm still going to say I am.
But is that good? Is that good?
I think it does. It just smooths everything out.
Really? But see, I think that's a harbor, though. I think you're going to harbor that.
That is harboring.
I don't know that harboring is good. What do you think, Matt?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that in this case of, I don't know that you should tell your... I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on what it is, but I think depending on the situation, you should probably... I feel like a lot of times things that don't involve your significant other or friends should not be brought up to your significant other or friends because your problems aren't their problems. Your problems are your problems and vice versa. Their problems are their problems.
Oh, but see, you're going to get an ulcer. You can't take on everything yourself.
Why not?
Because eventually you will find that you are not the end-all be-all. You can't solve everything.
Well, I didn't say I could solve everything, but I don't think me getting in my friends can solve everything.
Get better friends.
I mean, I suppose, but like, I guess it depends on the circumstance. I mean,
what would be a circumstance where you would just harbor it, even though you can't solve the problem, but would never present it to a friend?
Well, I mean, I think if you can't solve it, there's no point to harbor it. It's kind of just one of those things. If there's no solution, why are you worrying about
but
it? You can only control what you can control.
But harboring's involuntary. You don't just say, I'm not going to harbor. Harboring's an involuntary action. It's like laughing, crying, anxiety. You can't stop it.
I think you could just forget about it. Oh. It's pretty easy.
Maybe if you have a touch of something like a memory disorder, I don't think you just how do you pop that right out of my brain. That's not possible.
It is what it is.
Okay. Well, then why did you worry about it in the first place?
I don't know. I guess you were looking for a solution, and you come to the conclusion that there is not a solution. So why is it going to keep stressing you?
But you can't just
there's
say
there's no reason
no
for
stress.
It to keep stressing you.
If you could turn off stress, people wouldn't have heart attacks.
I just think that people don't. I
you
mean,
think that's an option?
I don't know that it's an option, but like, I think that if something is stressing me out, I could just, I'd come back to it later, not come back to it. If there was a problem that I could not fix, why am I still working at it? There's no reason to. It's not solvable.
That, you sound like you're getting a little angry now. We might have a little harboring issue here coming out.
No.
Jess,
like
what
that.
Do you think?
That's a great ability to have. You know, to
I don't
recognize,
think it exists.
To recognize, you know, there is no solution, walk away from it.
I mean, you can realize there's no solution. I don't think you can turn your emotions on and off.
I think you just have to realize that, like, you can control what you can control. If you can't control it, there's no point in worrying about it, stressing about it. Like, it can't, you don't have anything to do with it. It's going to happen with or without you.
Yeah, but much like we have talked about here, a relationship, period. If that ends, most of the time, somebody's going to be sad for a minute. because even if they wanted it to be over, it's the end of something that was at some point halfway decent. Or why were you?
I don't
you
know.
In
I mean, I guess maybe I've just never had a quote unquote good relationship. But
well, you've only had one, right?
I mean, there's been more, but I would say there's only been one
that was
like,
significant.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this would be good because I'd come to you and I'd be like, "Hey, listen, I'm just obsessing over this," and there's just and you would just be like, "There's no resolution. Forget about it." I mean, it's a great friend thing.
If there was no resolution,
is that a great friend?
That would be a great friend thing.
That's not a good friend.
No resolution. I have given that advice to my friends before. Like
that's horrible advice.
They'll be stressing over things.
Go to bed.
Things that they can't control. And I'm like, there's no point in stressing about it if you can't control it. The outcome is not going to change based on what you do.
But most things are controllable.
Not by
not
you.
All. Not all things. Not
give me
automatic
a problem
lights.
That's not controllable.
I mean, if so, I don't know. Like a loved one dies.
Okay.
That's out of your control.
Well, you can't bring them back, but you can certainly try to ease the moment by saying something that is profound.
I mean, I guess you could.
So there's something there. You know what I always tell when a loved one dies, because obviously everybody faces this, what I always say is you have to understand that that person went through that in their life. They went through what you went through. Let's say, God forbid, a parent dies. You have to understand that their parent probably died. They went through what you went through, and your kids or the next generation are going to go through it with you, and you're going to be there one day. And if you think about it in general, they now know the secret. As much as people want to believe they know what happens when we die, nobody really knows. Nobody's ever come back to tell us. And that person knows the secret, and we'll know the secret one day. So I think that's comforting in a lot of ways. Plus, the memories are important. Sometimes they make you sad in the beginning, but you know what? The fact that they are making you sad means that you had a good relationship with that person. That's good. See, I gave you advice on a problem that was not solvable.
It's still not solved.
It's
the
solved.
Problem's still
it's
there.
Done.
No. There's no resolution there.
Listen, you can't fix that they're dead, but you can fix how you feel about it.
It'd be more like...
It's like knocking down a building. You're not going to rebuild the building, but I can tell you, don't worry, that building will come back.
It sounds to me like you're It sounds to me like you're saying the whole, like, you can't control it, you can't bring them back, so you might as well, just remember the things you
Clearly,
have.
Clearly, I can't control this conversation.
So it sounds to me like you're basically just going with the whole, it is what it is, you can't control it. You just put
comforting.
Extra, you just
they
put
want
extra,
you to be comforting.
Yeah, you put extra words in there to make it comforting. But the message, overall message is, like... You can't bring them back.
Did you ever think that most people aren't coming to you to fix their problems? They're coming for you to listen comfort you?
I think that if you come to me with your problems, I'm going to try to offer solutions. There's no... Do not come to me just wanting to ramble off solutions. It's a waste of your time, I promise.
90% of people just want to be heard.
I'm listening.
They don't want you to fix something. I know I'm not being hurt right now, but whatever.
If you have a problem, and I offer
problem
you a
right
solution,
now.
And you get mad at me for offering you a solution, stop talking to me. About your problems.
No, I'm saying you just want to tell me your problem. Maybe you don't want me to fix it. Maybe you just want somebody to hear.
I think if you just start talking about your problems with somebody, I think that you should probably be asking for some kind of...
Why would I be asking anybody anyway? They're not psychologists. If I need some help, I'll go to a psychologist or somebody like that.
I don't see what the point is. Like, you know...
Why am I going up to somebody who works at the grocery store and, hey, fix my problem. I have a psychological issue here. You'd be the person to fix it.
I don't think you go up to somebody in the grocery store. I think in the circuit.
Your friends? Your friends are all PhDs?
I don't think, if you're...
Jess, jump in.
You don't need me.
Fly on in on this.
Just sitting here drinking my coffee.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Don't you think people just want to be heard?
Oh, I think venting's good.
Yes.
I think venting's good. And being able to vent to somebody who just lets you and doesn't take it any farther is a good thing.
But don't you think there is some comfort, even if you can't solve the problem, quote unquote? Comforting is not bad.
No, comforting is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think there is, not necessarily the solution, but there are things you can do with anything anybody says to you.
I mean, I guess there are things to do you can, like, I don't even know that it's...
Not just say sorry.
I don't know. Like, I think... I mean, I almost feel like people who have lost a loved one almost get heary of... annoyed, or I don't know a good word, so I'm going to use the word annoyed. They almost get annoyed with people saying I'm sorry. You've heard I'm sorry now at least a billion times from everybody you've come
once.
Across.
I say it once, and then unless they bring it up.
Yeah, but like the thing is, like, you say it once.
I'll
but
ask
then everybody else
okay.
also says it once. Now, when you know a few hundred people, you hear sorry a few hundred times.
Right, right, but I'll ask
if it gets annoying.
Well, sorry, that's what happens. But I'll ask if people are okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. That's are
like
you okay?
That's anything. Are you okay?
Are you
just
okay?
Checking in.
Yes.
Just checking in. If you're okay, fine. You never know if they're lying to you or not. But I think, and I think also, social media world we're in now, if somebody's posting something that seems sad, if you are any kind of a friend, minor or major, I don't think it hurts to take 30 seconds out of your day to send them a message to say, listen, how are you?
I stopped checking on people who post sad things on their story because what happens is like I used to have this friend who posted on the story about how nobody checks on him and that, like, nobody actually cares about him. And then I'd start, like, and keep in mind that, like, I did. Every time they would post something sad, I'd be like, what happened? Like, what's wrong? But, like, and then I'd start and be like, you can't, like, I ended up getting upset with them because, like, they would post things like that on the story. But, like, every time I asked you what is wrong, you say, nothing. I'm fine.
Well,
like, you can't have it both ways.
Maybe it's this attitude you're giving off is why they say that. But what do you think? I don't know if I come to this. This seems a little harsh in the moment.
I think it's because
what's wrong with you?
It just consistently.
Come on, tell me.
It just consistently happens. Like they post it. I'd ask them what's wrong, like nothing. And I'm like, are you sure? The story would disagree, and you posted like 5 minutes ago.
Again, it's a 20-minute wait time. They needed to wait 20 minutes.
20 minutes away.
Yeah. But there are things in life. Divorces, relationships ending, death. Of course you're going to check in on it. It'd be rude if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. We have a call. We're going to continue on here this morning. And like I say, we've been having a great time this morning on the program. Sam Donaldson, Cousin Brucey at the beginning of this hour, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. And now we have a call from somebody who's been very good to me over the years, certainly in the talk show format. And I believe he might be the king of the talk show. Now, here's an interesting fact about this person. Johnny Carson, who was the king of late night, really, I don't know that he ever feared competition from all the people who went up against him over the years. But I believe he said this person was the one person that he was fearful who might be able to do better than he did in the ratings. And I believe that, too. He was also on Richard Nixon's enemies list. How about that? That's a unique fact. He is one of my favorite people. He could do entertainment, and he could also do news. He covered Watergate. He interviewed Alfred Hitchcock, Groucho Marx. The list is endless. Jack Parr. Who better to have here today than the legendary Dick Cavett? Dick, how are you?
Scott.
Yes.
How do you know it's really me?
Well, I don't.
I want to wish you a happy birthday. If this is not your birthday, I'm going to be terribly, terribly embarrassed.
Well, the birthday's tomorrow, but with you, I'll take it a day early.
Oh, I blew it. I'm so sorry. Now I've played the fool on the with Scott Spears. I can't stand it. But anyway, what's your goal for this next year? You do so much good.
Well, I really don't know. It's a presidential year, and as you know, being in the media, there's a lot to cover there.
Yes, there is.
You know, what's your goal in the next year?
I'm sorry, say again?
What's your goal for the next year?
To keep eating breakfast every morning and to stay reasonably fit and to quell all the rumors that I'm a criminal and just, have some fun in this sorry best of all so-called possible worlds. Am I being too long-winded?
No, you know what? I think I'm going to make that my resolution, too. That sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Cavett, I have to ask you, you have interviewed...
Wait a minute, I lost power there for a moment. Is there another Scott Spears?
I don't know, not that I'm aware of. Maybe somewhere.
Well, I swear online there's a picture of a guy who doesn't look anything like you with Scott Spears under it, and you may want to look that up and see if somebody's ripping off your act, but, gosh, I wish I were there.
I know.
Once again, I forgot to get you a birthday present.
Well, here's my goal for the next year. I'm going to have to come to New York and get together with Dick Cavett so we can do this face-to-face.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
I would love that.
Oh, my God, my breakfast is getting cold. What'll I do?
I don't want to take you away. I don't want to take you away from that. But to have Dick Cavett call in upon the
I forgot to say happy birthday on ice until tomorrow. I say it now. You're a major contributor, and I'm proud to know you.
Well, to hear that from Dick Cavett.
Aww.
You better quit while we're ahead.
Let me tell somebody something really quick before the oatmeal gets too cold there for you, Mr. Cavett, is that Dick Cavett comes on and does the best interviews. He's as entertaining a guest as he is an interviewer. And to have you on the show over the years and continue to have you on the show is one of the things that makes having birthdays continuously special. I want to stick around just to have more Dick Cavett on.
You're a good man, Spears.
And come sit. This is Martha. Happy birthday, Scott, and come see you.
Thank you, Martha, and thank you, Mr. Cavett. You have a wonderful day.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, man.
Dick Cavett, how about that? The legendary Dick Cavett. See, this is a thing today, Matt and Jessica. You're on the big show today.
Yes.
Now, do you remember Dick Cavett? Google him.
Okay.
Google him. I know you. That's before Matt's era.
I know the name.
You know the name Dick Cavett?
I do know the name.
Dick Cavett, legendary talk show host. Great guy back when there were three channels. You know, that's one of the great things about doing this job is stuff like that. That somebody will call in and, you know, Dick Cavett saying they're proud of you. My goodness gracious. Dick Cavett's a little out of my sphere. I'm a little below the Dick Cavett range.
We have the same birthday.
You and Dick Cavett?
November 19th.
This is like the same year?
No.
Now, that would have been really fascinating. That's you look good for your age.
He's a Scorpio.
Do you follow the signs? Because clearly I'm a Pisces.
Well, when I had more time, I did, yes.
Yeah. What does that mean? I don't know what any of that means. What does Scorpio mean?
What does... Well, it all kind of is based off of astronomy. You know,
I thought it was a star. It's not astrology. That's when you see the future, right?
It's right. That would take too long to try to get into any of that.
All I'm saying is Cousin Brucey and Dick Cavett, legendary broadcasters in their field, national broadcasters, Sam Donaldson too, for that matter. You know, that is one of the great things about doing this job, is that you have stuff like that happen. I mean, where else is that going to happen? That's not going to happen at the grocery store or teaching school. Not that I don't love those things, but it isn't going to happen there. But it happens here, and, you know, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there was a Scott Spears Day last month in Marion?
There was.
I
missed it.
You didn't celebrate?
What's
wrong with you?
Balloons.
My goodness, it was a whole thing. What day was that, Matt? You were here for that.
The 19th?
The mayor came in and proclamated the day.
Oh, wow.
I sped around town that day.
I'm sorry, I missed
it. No tickets. Go ahead, caller.
Well, the young lady, she said she's a Scorpio. I am a Scorpio. And you, Scott Spears, said you was a Pisces, and my wife is a Pisces. So we've been married 62 years, so put it together and chat over that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, you guys.
Well, you're a Scorpio. Do you go to bed angry?
No, but there are. Isn't that all based upon the idea that that's your mood and some people do worry about, I can't get together. I'm a Pisces. I can't be together with an Aquarius or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow that?
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
I found some of it to be true with experience.
I don't even know what people are.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't even have the foggiest idea.
Well, Google it.
They're a what? So who, as a Pisces, who should I not be looking toward?
You're a Pisces, and I'm not... You probably actually would get along really well with Scorpios. I think Scorpios and Pisces do get along well.
I think I like to think I get along with everybody.
You do.
I'm just personality.
Maybe.
Personality driven. Mr. Personality. But so on this whole going to bed angry thing, I guess in the final analysis here, should you or shouldn't you?
Yeah, you should go to bed angry.
I agree.
I disagree.
Two against one.
Disagree. Disagree on that one. Let's get on to the next topic. Well, this is interesting. They've identified a big problem in relationships now, and it's not what you think. The big problem is I hate my spouse's or relationship or boyfriend or girlfriend's cooking. I can't stand it. What do you think, Matt?
I think if you can't stand the person's cooking, I think there's probably an issue there. I think that, that you probably should have to like their cooking to be together, for the fact that if you're going to be together forever, you're probably going to be eating a lot of their cooking. So I think that you kind of need the one to have the other.
Oh, I agree. Food's a very big part of life.
So do you tell them? Because if everything else is working fine in the relationship, do you tell them?
Hey, man, look, I'm sorry it was going well, but you just can't.
Is food number one? Is food number one? Do you tell them before you go to bed, or do you wait for the morning to tell them that you didn't like their food? Let it harbor overnight.
I'm not a picky eater, really. I mean, I guess it could be really bad, but I just get happy if I'm cooked for, period.
So if the guy cooks the food...
Oh, how fantastic.
Really?
Oh, yeah, to come home to a cooked meal. Yes, it's amazing. You know, and my mom's a big cook, though, you know, and our families, and I do enjoy cooking, so.
But you enjoy it, too.
Trying to cook for my child's completely different. Talk about being thrown there. You know, I try to cook, you know, all these fabulous, though, put salmon on, you know, or something, and he just is really happy with hot dogs and chicken nuggets. So it's like,
ketchup.
Why can't you like my cooking?
I know. You get a more of acquired taste as you get older, I think. I think at that age, it's a little young. But Matt, you said it's a big thing. Deal breaker?
I think it's unfortunate to say, but I think it is a deal breaker.
Why can't you just get your own food?
I mean, you can, but I think that the other person might have an issue with that. Like, even my, like, so I'll use my mom and dad as an example. So, like, my dad likes to put hot sauce on things. Like, he just likes the hot sauce. And, like, so, like, say, like, my mom will make, like, pork chops and mashed potatoes. My dad will put hot sauce and, like, salt and pepper on the pork chops. My mom will be like, why? The pork chop's not good enough for you? You gotta season them yourself?
But they're still together and been together a long time.
Yeah, but my mom can cook. My dad just likes the, like, he'll eat them by themselves. But, like, you know, if we have hot sauce, he's gonna put hot sauce.
But not a deal breaker.
That does drive me nuts. Like, what's going on? what's happening?
What's a big tick off with you, food wise?
What do you
like? The hot sauce is this one. What is something somebody could cook or do for you? You like that it's being done, but wouldn't like it. Wouldn't want to eat it.
Wouldn't want to eat it.
Yeah,
I'd have to think about that one for a second.
Gravy is mine.
Because you don't like gravy.
I hate gravy.
Oh my goodness!
I hate
that's
gravy
what,
on
that's
anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, you can throw your hands up all you want. Gravy is horrible.
Gravy is tasty.
No. No.
He doesn't like gravy.
It's flour and grease. This is not good food.
You know, this season.
Flour and grease.
Stuff in
Let me get you some flour. Hey, you know what? I got a little grease left in the pan from last night. Let me throw some flour in there and make you a meal. No, that's not impressive. Let's see if we can really slam an artery shut.
Right. Exactly. I'm almost to the point where if anybody cooks, even makes me a sandwich. Like, I would be happy.
You seem like you have diminished expectations as life goes on.
You know, she's got a point there. I do in fact like me some subs or like deli sandwiches, wraps. Like, honestly, if you just made me like a cold sandwich every day I got home, we'd just
put it in front of my face. Just put it in front of my face.
You know, I told this story we're getting the call here, but I told a story the other night that I'm going to tell here as soon as we get this call in. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Those kids, they know that you always had plenty of money. You eat the stuff you like to eat. But the poor people, when they're growing up, we had biscuits and gravy, and we had bread with gravy over it, just toast and gravy. So that was a cheap meal.
And dried corned beef.
A tomato soup and a cheese grilled cheese sandwich. That was a terrific deal.
Oh, I like grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese. I don't have expensive tastes. I mean, I like a tuna sandwich. I like it's just gravy. There's something about it.
Yeah, but tuna, my goodness, buddy, a little can of tuna that costs a lot of money. Hey, have fun, guys.
Hey, thank you. Bye bye. The story I told the other night was, and I didn't think this was a big thing because I like to cook somewhat. I just don't cook a lot because you live alone and it just doesn't happen. But I knew somebody was coming over, a girl that night, and I just made pizza burgers and something on the side. I don't remember what it was. But I remember she got there, and this comes back to social media. She took a picture of the pizza burgers and the other food that I had cooked. And then later on that night, I saw a social media post about how you don't know when you're in a relationship for a long period of time and nobody ever cooks for you, how nice it is when you meet somebody who cooks. And I wasn't trying to do it. I wasn't trying to be impressive. It just, why wouldn't you cook some for them if you knew they were coming over?
Well, I think that was being a very good host.
But I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do when somebody comes over? Like, if I came over to your house, you're not gonna have like some chips or something?
No, I would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was so big about that? That I used a skillet?
I don't know.
Was that I used the warmth. It wasn't just some old pretzels or something. No, I hate that when you go to... I mean, you don't have to partake in whatever's there, but I think you should have something for the guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I usually just set out in, like, some nuts or something.
Yeah, nuts are good.
Cheese and crackers has always been a big one with our family, so there's always a block of cheese in the fridge and Ritz crackers or something simple in the pantry.
You know what's really good? Oh, people like, because most people like jelly, a saltine cracker with grape jelly. It doesn't sound like the greatest thing in the world, but it's like a little bit of a sweet tooth, a little salty, kind of like, what's the sweet and salty candy bar? It's out of my brain for a second, but it's like that. And it's very good.
Payday.
Payday, yeah. Anything before we go to break here? We got a whole nother hour, by the way, so don't go anywhere. you wouldn't put out anything.
So my parents have had an interesting scenario in their marriage. I'm not sure how long they've been married either. They've been married a while. My father, over the past couple of years, his taste has changed. And my mom didn't know what to do with that. So she's like, I just don't cook anymore. That's it. So my father does all the cooking now, and he's a phenomenal cook, too.
Well, see, that's good.
Yeah.
Switch it up here. We got to go to break here. We're coming back with much more with Jess and Matt here. Now, remember, we're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff, and who knows what's around the corner. Go get yourself some saltines. Go get yourself some grape jelly. Have fun during the break. Come back. We'll talk more after this.
There's a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provided.